Amen. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. Amen. We have been, the last couple of weeks, we've had some Advent studies going on, and this past week, just to kind of recap some of that, it was interesting. We talked about Mary and Joseph, and on Thursday evening, I asked folks to consider things about themselves, character traits, or how you deal with certain situations that you know came from your parents. You know, something about you that you know is like your mother or father. Something good, you know. We've all had those moments, those of us who are now parents, when that stuff came out of your mouth to your own kids and you went, "That was my dad." I said I would never do that. But there are good things about us, right, that came from our parents. And, you know, I have been fixated on the verse that said that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. So he grew in wisdom. He learned things, and I firmly believe that Mary and Joseph were especially picked to be Jesus' parents for the things that they would pass on to him. We know about his heavenly Father, but we also know that in some sense that these two, the ones that held his hands and taught him to walk and spent so much time with him, had some influence over his life, for he grew in wisdom. And we know that when Mary was approached by the angel, and we're going to read about that here in just a second, but that she put aside those things that she may have had, those dreams of marriage and family. She had no idea now what her life was going to look like. And she said, "Yet, not my will, but thy will be done." She said, "May it be to me as you have said," which I think we hear reflected in Jesus in the garden when he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." When he put aside whatever he wanted in the flesh for the will of the Father. And Joseph, you know, I asked the question, why in the world do you think God waited until after Mary was pregnant to tell Joseph what was going on? And I've heard some people say, well, God was testing Joseph to see what Joseph would do, and I don't believe that. My understanding of God already knew what Joseph was going to do, but I'm not entirely sure Joseph knew what Joseph would do. I'm not entirely sure Mary knew how righteous a man Joseph was. But Joseph's response before he found out was not to claim his legal right in the law, which would be to have Mary stoned to death. Instead, he chose mercy and compassion, righteousness over the law. And I think when they dragged that woman in front of Jesus, and they said, "This woman has been caught in adultery, and the law of Moses says she is to be stoned to death." Do you remember this passage? And Jesus bent down and said he drew in the dirt, and we wonder what it was he drew and what he was thinking. Well, I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But I wonder if he wasn't thinking, that could have been my mother. That would have been the charge brought against my mother. What they want to do to her is what they would have wanted to do to my mother. And so Joseph, this righteous man that raised this man, Jesus, and we suppose that Jesus probably saw other acts of mercy in Joseph's life, how he treated customers at the carpenter shop, maybe that couldn't pay a bill on time. You know, we can just assume that he saw other acts of mercy by this man, and that influenced Jesus. And so the parents of Jesus were very important, were very, very important indeed. And so we're going to talk a little bit about Mary this morning. And Mary, who the people who study such things say that she was somewhere between 12 and 14 years old. Joseph was probably considerably older, but Mary was a very young girl. And she probably did have a plan. She was in this long engagement and probably looking forward to a wedding and to a marriage and to having children. And they probably had, you know, these images that young couples getting ready to get married have. And she would have been holding on to those dreams and those wishes. And then her life changes Her life changes. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be called Great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her mother's womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in the womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful in the humble state of his servant. From now all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has given great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He is filled with hungry with good things. He sent the rich away empty. He helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So if Elizabeth was in her sixth month when the angel approached, and then Mary traveled to that place and stayed there for about 3 months, then it makes sense that Mary was there at the birth of John the Baptist, that Mary received this affirmation of this other miraculous birth of a child that was called into the service of the Lord. And we know just a few other things about Mary. She's mentioned several times, but really there's only five circumstances or five stories which talk about Mary. This here, obviously, surrounding the birth at the time when they lost Jesus. Imagine losing Jesus. But when they kind of misplaced Jesus and found him at the temple, there was the wedding at Cana, where she approached Jesus about the problem that they had run out of wine. Then she faced something that no parent, especially no mother, would ever want to face, where she saw the death of her son. But then, praise God, she saw the resurrected Christ. She saw Jesus alive again. What an amazing thing that must have been for anyone who saw it, but especially for his mother. To go through what she had gone through, but then to see him alive again must have been incredible. I think there are things we can learn from the life of Mary, from things that she did and from things that she said. There's been a lot through church history about Mary. There's been some, I think, misunderstanding There's been maybe some elevation a little higher than she ought to be. And then kind of in response to that, there's almost where we almost ignore her. She was highly favored by God. She was chosen to be the mother of our Lord. Chosen by God. And we ought to remember Mary. You know, heroes are often not those who appear heroic before an event takes place. I shared this the other night with the Advent study. There was a man in the Air Force named John Leviteau, and I'll see some familiar nods around the room from some airmen that are in the room here. John Leviteau was a loadmaster, and he was on a C-141 flying over Vietnam when the aircraft was struck, and it blew a hole in the side of the plane. There was a live munition rolling in that had not yet exploded, and he grabbed hold of it, and he injured himself and threw that out, and he won the Congressional Medal of Honor. He was a hero. Before he was a loadmaster, he was training to be a lineman. One of those guys that, well, now they use trucks, but they used to climb poles and work on the electric lines. And my dad was his trainer at McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey. And when my dad heard this other stuff, it was kind of surprising to him because John Leviteau was just an ordinary guy. You know, he wasn't John Wayne, you know. He was just an ordinary guy. But faced with a circumstance, he responded heroically. When we look at the great people of the Bible and the great things that they did, mostly just ordinary people, but they listened to and responded to a call from God, and then amazing things happened. And when I think of Mary, I'm reminded a lot of Noah. You know, Noah was just a guy, but he did find grace in the eyes of the Lord, right? He was a righteous man. And Noah was chosen to provide, in a way, salvation for the world by building that ark and providing a means of life while the rest of the world was destroyed. And I also, when I think of Mary, I think of Abraham. And Abraham was promised that through his son Isaac, the entire world would be blessed. The descendants would be innumerable. And yet one day Abraham found himself walking with Isaac, traveling out to a mountain where he was going to take him and offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham, I don't think, had any idea how this was going to be resolved. But he knew that God was going to take care of the situation. You see, they were traveling with the servants, and at one point he stopped and he told the servants, "Stay here. We will return." And then he continued with Isaac. And Isaac said, "Dad, where's the ram for the sacrifice?" And he said, "God will provide." And he got to the point where he had Isaac bound to the altar and had the knife raised. And I think in his mind, he thought, even if I do this, God is going to fix it. I don't know how, but God will respond in some way because God's promises will be true. And sure enough, in that circumstance, God provided the ram. And Isaac was released, and the ram was sacrificed. And see, I think Mary had these thoughts of what her life would look like. And then the angel appears and says, "What's going to happen?" Now, again, the penalty to be pregnant and unmarried was death by stoning. She was going to have to go to her parents and tell her parents that she was going to have a baby. She was going to have to go to the man to whom she was engaged and explain to him that she was going to have a baby. And I don't think she knew how this was going to work out. I don't think she knew how Joseph would respond. Matter of fact, Joseph responded in a way that was short of calling down the law, but it also wasn't, "Come on in, it's okay, we'll go on." He was going to put her away and divorce her. We don't know exactly how her parents responded. She didn't know what the neighbors were going to say. She didn't know what Elizabeth was going to say. And yet, she said to the angel, "May it be to me as you have said." She accepted willingly the call that God had placed on her life and knew that God would somehow resolve it. She knew that God was going to make it the way it should be, regardless of what she had to go through. And I don't know how much Mary knew of those Old Testament stories, but I believe pretty firmly that Mary knew a great deal. It would have been unusual for her to have known a lot of Old Testament stories, so what would have just been the scriptures to them. Young boys were taken and taught by the rabbis. Young girls were home cleaning and cooking. But Mary, this song of Mary, or what's called the Magnificat, when she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior," all the way through that, she is quoting from Habakkuk and from Samuel, from Hannah's song, when she found out she was going to have a child. Over and over again, she repeats words from Scripture. And I think that is a great lesson we can learn from this little girl. The importance of being immersed in the Word of God. Because among many things that does for us, one of the things it does, it helps us respond when God calls us. It helps. It gives us things to say. It helps us decide a course of action. It has given us a sense of what other people have done when similar things are asked of them. And so I firmly believe Mary was immersed in the Word of God, and she responded, and she responded with the Word of God, with praises from the Word of God. And friends, if we will do that for ourselves, if we will immerse ourselves in the Scriptures, my, how it can help us in so many ways, not the least of which, when God places a call upon us, it helps us respond. It helps us know what to say. It helps us know what to say to God. It helps us know what to say to other people. It helps us know how to choose and how to move forward. I think this is a great gift given from this young girl, that we should do the same thing. We should immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Then another lesson we can learn from Mary is her humility. She was told that she was now going to be the mother of the Messiah. Not her friends, not any of her relatives, her. She was selected. She was chosen. It could have been easy for her to respond in a different way, because she was highly favored, and she could have responded in such a way. But her response was, "My soul glorifies the Lord. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." And though she recognizes that generations will call her blessed, she doesn't say that generations will say wonderful things about her, just the wonderful things that God did for her. But that's what blessings are. Blessings aren't wonderful things about us. They're wonderful things that God has provided for us. But I think perhaps the most impact that Mary can have for us, the greatest lesson that she has for us, is when she asked her questions, "How can this be?" When she got the information, she said simply, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Joseph was just a carpenter. Mary was just a young girl engaged to be married. A young girl from a small town, nothing remarkable or incredible about her. And yet, who now does not know who Mary is? Who does not know what was accomplished through the birth of the child that she carried? Because she was willing, against whatever she might be facing, to simply do whatever it was that God called her to do. She didn't bargain. She didn't barter. Not, I'll do that if you'll do this. Not, well, I could do that if only this would take place. She didn't ask, will you talk to Joseph for me? She didn't say, will you tell my parents? She didn't say, will you put some kind of aura around me so that the whole world will know? She simply said, may it be to me as you have said, knowing that God would take care of the rest. Here we are, ordinary people, a variety of lines of work are represented here, an ordinary church. But undoubtedly, God has placed a call on our lives. Undoubtedly. Individually and as a church, God is calling us into things. How will we respond? What will we say? Will we bargain with God? Will we hold out until circumstances get just right? Well, when I get this done, then I'll go. When I get that done, I'll go. When I make a little more money, I'll do this. I'll be able to do it then. Because the circumstances just don't seem right, Lord, right now. Or will we simply say, may it be to me as you have said? None of us will be called to the hardship or to the amazing thing that Mary went through. But that doesn't take away from the fact that we are all called into the service of the Lord. And if we will respond, if we will respond in such a way, in the way that Mary did, I think we will see amazing things happen. You know, a lot of the confusion with Mary through the years, through church history, has been that, you've heard of the Immaculate Conception, you've heard that term. Well, that does not have to do, in their doctrine, does not have to do with the birth of Jesus. It has to do with the birth of Mary. You see, they had to figure out that Mary, how could she be the mother of God if she was an ordinary person? So they figured out that her birth itself must have been special. But that's kind of missing the point. If you read through the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, there's all kinds of flawed people in there, and they're pointed out. Most of the genealogies that the Jews used did not mention the women, but there's a prostitute listed in there. There's a Moabite woman listed in there, so that the line was not purely Jewish. There was David, and not just David mentioned, but they highlight the fact that he sought out his friend's wife and had his friend put to death. This is highlighted in this genealogy. See, what God is saying to us there is nothing you do is perfect. But when I come into the picture, all things become perfect. Mary didn't have to be perfect. She was favored by God, but she didn't have to be perfect because the Holy Spirit came to dwell within her. And that made perfection. So any of us, all of us, no matter where we are, no matter what we've done, no matter who we've been, no matter what we think of ourselves, if we will respond to God in that humble way, when the Holy Spirit comes and starts to work through us, the outcome is as God would have it be. We had not have to have achieved any sort of perfection in our own lives before God can use us. Remember, He created all of this out of nothing. He created the first person out of a handful of dust. The dust was nothing but dust until what? He breathed into it. And Jesus said to his followers just before he left, said he breathed upon them and said, "Receive my Holy Spirit." That same Spirit is available to us. That same Spirit that came upon Mary, that brought about the Christ child, that same Spirit will come upon each one of us and produce something of glory to God. That's the message for this day. If we will humbly respond to God and allow His will to be done in us, the Holy Spirit will come upon us, and the response will be something that glorifies God. Amen. Amen. Amen.